Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
According to my calculation.
Come on. Let's talk about stats, baby. Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Kirtle, broadcasting live from Big O Tires in American Forks. Stop by, say hello. Get three tires. Buy three tires, get one free. Buy three tires, get one free here at Big O Tires in American Forks. Right off State Street. Would love to see you. Stop in, say hello. Let's talk about stats, though. It's going to be brought to you by our good friends at Orthopedic Pros of Utah, orthoprosofutah.com. If you are getting out there and you need to ski this season, you're coming off maybe an injury, get braced up at Ortho Pros of Utah. The U.S. Ski and Snowboard Team chooses DonJoy braces that Ortho Pros of Utah provides. So get braced up this winter wonderland season as you're shredding on the mountain. 801-400-5318. That's 801-400-5318. Ortho Pros of Utah, orthoprosofutah.com. Let's talk about stats with a Boise State insider. He penned a piece last night, dropped the news, dropped the bomb on Cougar Nation and maybe even Bronco Nation via BroncoNationNews.com by stating Kelly Papinga is on his way home to Provo, Utah. Let's welcome in Boise State insider BJ Raines to the show. What's up, BJ?
I'm doing great, man. I'm just sitting here marveling at this gingerbread house you made, man. That's pretty impressive.
Bro, I tell you, this is an annual tradition in the family that I married into, and I've been doing it now for 6 years. I have sucked so bad over the years, like just horrible. I always get like last place. Like I'm like one of the small children making a gingerbread. The last 2 years, I've really stepped up my game. Last year, I didn't place, but this year, I really focused. I honed in, and for an hour and a half, I was focused on making the best gingerbread within my capabilities. I think I hit a home run, bro. What'd you think? Break down my gingerbread.
Yeah, it was impressive, man. It didn't look like a media member's gingerbread house. I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you. It took me 6 years.
It was impressive, man.
Took me 6 years to figure it out, man. I went different. I kind of had to think outside the box, tap into some creativity that I didn't know I had. So I appreciate the love, and I appreciate...
Ben Kirtle is a man of many talents. Just so you guys.
I don't know, man. Every once in a while, you know, I swing, and if I hit a home run one out of six, that's still pretty good. I may be able to get a contract with that one home run.
Hey, they're a career 220 hitters that are in the Hall of Fame.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Let's hit some dingers. BJ, you hit a dinger last night, breaking some news. Now, no one else has come out and talked about this, but Kelly Papinga very well could be coming to Provo. Tell us a little bit about what you found out about Kelly Papinga.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it hasn't leaked out from anywhere else or no one else has said anything, but I'm obviously very confident still that it's happening. My understanding is he's, you know, informed some of the players or some staff members at Boise State that he is heading to BYU. And, you know, last night there were some recruiting pictures posted with a defensive GA that was kind of his assistant with the edge position. And he was out basically recruiting, which the only way he would be recruiting, obviously, you have to be a full-time coach, which means that somebody is not. And so it just makes sense that Jabril Frazier picked up, at least for the short-term recruiting in his place. So it all but basically confirms that if he's not recruiting on the road, that he's moving on. And yeah, was only at Boise State for a year. Not a huge surprise. Didn't really have any ties here. You know, just kind of needed a job, and they had an opportunity for him. And I don't think it's a huge surprise to anybody in Boise that he made his way back to BYU.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a great hire. Do you know, have any details about the possible position or the role that he would have on the coaching staff?
I've been trying to figure that out, and I'm not as in tune to BYU's available openings and things, and I was kind of seeing from some reports when you were retweeting it and some others kind of what they were looking for in terms of the DC or what, and no, all I can confirm is that he is leaving Boise State for a position at BYU. Obviously was the edge position is what Boise State calls it, kind of the pass rushers, defensive ends, kind of the the outside guys on the defensive line. Boise State calls it the edge position. And then he was the co-special teams coordinator, which, you know, the special teams actually cost him in a couple of their losses this year. I mean, in the Mountain West Championship game on Saturday, they gave up a 70-yard punt return, and they had a key roughing the punter penalty on 4th and 15 that allowed Fresno State to keep a drive alive and score a touchdown. So, and when they lost to UTEP, they gave up a punt return also. So I don't know exactly how the duties were divided up. He was the co-special teams coordinator with Keith Bonifa, but I would say they had some miscues in the special teams this year for sure. And, you know, at the edge position, they dealt with a ton of injuries. They've had multiple guys go out injured. They had a guy transfer. I mean, they were down to, like, you know, walk-ons basically getting time in the Mountain West Championship game. And he did the best he could with the guys he had that were available playing at that edge position. But they did not get a ton of pressure on the quarterback later in the season. And I think a lot of that was due to the injuries. But, no, I think he was well-liked and well-respected. And at least from the outside, I thought folks liked having him for the year. But as I said, knowing his ties to BYU and just didn't really have a lot of ties to Boise, I don't think it's a huge shock to anybody that that he's moving on.
Yeah, BJ, I kind of want to go down that path. I kind of want to go down that path a little bit further with you, just about what K-pop was sort of doing up there in Boise, because what he was like, obviously running that edge position and co-special teams coordinator. It's a very similar to his job when he was here at BYU before he obviously followed Bronco Mendenhall to Virginia and eventually ascended to co-defensive coordinator with the Cavs out there and whatever. But he was outside linebackers coach in Provo, ran their special teams, actually made BYU special teams a lot better in a lot of ways. So what was just sort of the reception, I guess, from the from both inside the building, from the coaches, from the players, that kind of thing? How did they sort of view Kelly Papinga up there, and then also maybe a little bit from the fan base? What did they sort of think about the job that he was doing?
Yeah, like I said, there was some talk yesterday, kind of, you know, when I reported that he was leaving, ripping on the special teams. And again, it was a collective effort. He was the co-special teams coordinator. They had a pretty good field goal kicker. They had a freshman punter that I think underperformed a little bit, but in the return game, they had some issues. Like I said, gave up multiple return touchdowns. You know, had a couple key penalties as well and that cost them touchdowns. So I don't know how much he was involved in that as opposed to other coaches, but if you're the co-special teams coordinator, you obviously have some involvement for special teams that struggled at times during the season. But I thought he was well-liked. I never heard really negative things about him too much. Like I said, the edge position, they did struggle at times to get pressure on the quarterback, but I really think that was because both their starters were out injured and they had another guy that would have played that transferred, and they, like I said, they were down to redshirt freshman walk-ons playing significant minutes in the Mountain West Championship game. So I don't really think that was on him as much as it was who he had available to play. And so I didn't hear any negatives too much. I thought people liked him. I thought he was, you know, didn't really get to know him much. He was only here, you know, 11 months or whatever. He was hired in January when Stacy Collins left to go to Penn State. And like I said, I think it was just the right – they had an opening and he needed a job, and I think it was the right fit. But always enjoyed talking to him. He was obviously very knowledgeable with the game of football and was very respectful. And I know one of the Virginia players, you know, that got killed was very close to him, was one of his big recruits, and I know that hit him pretty hard, you know, that situation up there. We actually just talked to him like the 3 days before the Mountain West Championship game, and then apparently like when the game was over, he was telling people that he was leaving. So obviously, you know, he's got a lot going on, but it makes sense for him to get back to where he played and coached and probably a much more familiar spot for him. I never heard too much negative things about him, though. I don't think he's leaving on bad terms or anything, right?
K-pop talked to you guys a couple of times in the media up there, and just from following your work over at Bronco Nation News and the YouTube channel, fantastic YouTube show, by the way.
Yeah, everyone should go out there and subscribe. Yeah, subscribe today.
Yeah, any semi-Boise State fans even that are in the market, I highly recommend
it. We do. I got BYU fans that, like, their second favorite team is Boise State.
There are a lot of them, yeah. It's true. There's a surprising amount of crossover. But it seems like K-pop and some of the other kind of position coaches and assistants really talk to you guys a lot. Has that been normal under Andy Avalos to have as much contact as you guys do with the assistant coaches?
Yeah, we get the coordinators every week. So we get Avalos for his 30-minute thing on Mondays, and then we get 15 minutes each at the podium with the offensive and defensive coordinators. And then we get two assistant coaches per week. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we get, you know, two players and an assistant coach. So it rotates through, and basically probably two to three times a season, you're talking to most of the assistants probably over a 12-week season if you get two a week. So, yeah, I'd say we got him probably you know, you get more coaches, you know, some request more than others, but I think we talked to him, yeah, two or three times probably during the season. You get him once or twice during fall camp. They do like a media day before camp. So, yeah, they actually make the assistant coaches. The assistant coaches are actually probably available more than some of the players are sometimes. Yeah. They like to keep the players focusing on football, letting the coaches do the talking. But, yeah, he was available a couple of times. Always enjoyed talking to him. Like I said, we had just talked to him like 3 days before the Mountain West Championship game. And he was, you know, didn't have any kind of didn't lean or hint anything about him possibly leaving. Just said that, you know, was talking about the game and the players they had and everything. I thought he was a friendly guy. Like I said, never really got to know him great compared to some coaches, but I always thought he was a friendly guy and enjoyed chatting with him.
BJ Raines, Bronco Nation News here on ESPN 960. Make sure you always stay up to date on the Boise State info that BJ Raines is pouring down on you, raining down on all those Bronco fans. BJ, I want to ask you a question. It seems like under Avalos, and maybe more recently, maybe the last 2 years of recruiting, that Boise State has begun to target the state of Utah in their recruiting efforts a bit more. I think that there was a more of a focus on it. Have you seen the same thing in their recruiting efforts or no?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Frank Miley, you know, has had something to do with that when they brought him in. He's obviously, done some things to try to do that. They brought in Maddox Madsen from American Fork. There's some other guys that they brought in from Utah. And yeah, that's been a nice spot for them over the years, and they've got a couple of coaches that have some ties there. You know, DeMario Warren was the head coach at Southern Utah, so he's got some ties there, you know, there as well. So, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head of how many players that they have from Utah, but I know that has certainly gone up. I mean, it makes sense. It's a 5-6 hour drive, you know, for parents and family members to come to games, and I know that that's, you know, an area that's J.J. Tallo, a defensive lineman from Kearns, is another one that pops to mind. I mean, I think they've got four or five probably from Utah, maybe a few more than that. But, I think that is an area that they like to try to recruit. They're very big in Texas and big in California, but I think the neighboring states are very important to them as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how this what's the overall impression of the Avalos tenure thus far there in Boise? How are we feeling? How are the donors and fans feeling?
Mixed. I mean, they had lost like 10 home games in 20 years before he got there, and they've lost five the last 2 years, including, you know, in the championship game the other day. They went 7-5 the first year. That didn't sit well with anybody. They get off to a 2-2 start this year, and everybody's, you know, really mad, wondering if he should be fired. They end up firing the offensive coordinator. They go on a nice run, get to 9-3 in the regular season. They host the championship game. All's great, and then they lose that to Fresno State. And so, I think there's some fans that are a little disappointed. They got pretty high expectations at Boise State. I guess that's 16-8 to this point as head coach in 2 years. And so I think the program's moving in the right direction. I think he's done some things. He's got a big hire to make at offensive coordinator here coming up. But they've got a young quarterback they really like. They've got some really young offensive players they're going to build around. And, you know, I think if they can win this bowl game and get to 10 wins, that would certainly be progress going up from 7 last year. And I think, it's crazy that a 10-win season by some is, you know, not good enough in Boise. But they won, you know, they've only won two Mountain West championships in the past 8 years. They've lost in the title game three times. And obviously a lot of that was under Harsin. But fans want to see him win the Mountain West. And I think now with this college football playoff going to 12 teams, you know, Boise State's really a team I think that could benefit from that, because once you lose, you know, BYU, UCF, or you don't lose BYU, they're independent, but BYU, UCF, Memphis, or not Memphis, Cincinnati, I mean, all these schools going, Houston to the Big 12, I mean, there's not a lot of Power 5 teams now that are going to be able to compete with Boise State when they're rolling. And so I think Boise State feels like, hey, if we can win the Mountain West, we're going to have a chance to be in that playoff rather consistently, yeah, and maybe even a better chance to be in the playoff than if they were, you know, had to go fight their way up from the Big 12. So there's a lot of people excited about the future, but obviously 16-8 the past two seasons to this point isn't what some people signed up for.
One of my last questions for you, BJ, is what was your overall takeaway from the BYU-Boise State game this year? What did you see? What was the fan reaction, et cetera?
Oh, heck of a game. Amazing catch for BYU to win it there in the final couple of minutes. I don't think anybody should have been surprised. I mean, we talked about it all week in Boise, just how every seems like every game in the rivalry comes down to the wire, and you throw out the records, and all that good stuff. And I, you know, I wasn't surprised at all that I thought BYU played a great game. I thought, you know, there was a couple questionable calls both ways. I couldn't believe that they didn't give BYU the touchdown there before halftime on the last play. And I thought that was going to be a big momentum change in the game. And then there was at least one other call, I forget, but then you had the close call, whether or not they made the catch in the end zone at the end of the game. I thought that was, you know, it looked like the right call to me based on what I saw. So I thought BYU had a heck of a comeback, and it was a great game. And I know Boise State fans would love to try to find a way to keep that game going on somewhat of a semi-regular basis. I know they don't have anything scheduled, but it was always the most attended game of the season. A lot of folks with ties to BYU in the Boise area. It was always a great game. I think nobody was surprised that it was another classic to end the rivalry. But I mean, that was the only regular season loss that Boise State had after they switched offensive coordinators and switched quarterbacks. They were 7-1 to end the regular season, and that was the loss. And so, to be honest with you, if Boise State had won that game, you know, and then UCF would have beat Tulane, I mean, there was a chance Boise State would have been in the mix for the Cotton Bowl. And it was a devastating loss. It ended up being a devastating loss. But it was a great game, and I think everybody loved the game and didn't like the outcome, but would like to see them come back at some point.
It's really interesting how both of these teams have knocked each other off the perch of a magical season. Last year, a 10-2 BYU team probably gets a better bowl game than they did in Shreveport, right? And then the year prior, I think BYU was able to knock Boise State off the perch.
Oh, that was their only loss by 3 points.
Yeah.
Boise State was like 12-1 or something, and their one loss was by three points. In the rain and wind down there in Provo, and they would have been in for sure in the CFP or in the New Year's Six Bowl. It's happened multiple times. Yeah, that's why the rivalry was so good, man.
Yeah.
You screw over the other team's season and get the win, and it's happened multiple times. And I don't know if I'd quite go that far this year. I mean, I don't know if they would have got, because Tulane won, and I don't think they ever would have passed Tulane, but they would have at least been in the mix a little more going into the end of the season than they were. But no, it's love those games, love the rivalry, and I do hope there's a way at some point they can try to get back in a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, and winning begets winning. I mean, you never know what happens with the momentum after a win over BYU. It does a body good. It does a football program good. So,
do you know, Ben, when the Big 12 schedule is going to be coming out for football now with BYU next year?
It's a great question. We were like waiting, hoping, and praying it would be
mid-December is what they're saying. They're not putting a date or anything on it, but they're saying mid-December.
I'm a Kansas grad, so
that's right.
Football, the first Kansas football game in Provo. I'm going to be down there as a fan.
Man. Come on down, man. Hey, you got a place to stay. Happy to help you out with anything. You know, Did you ever go to the Foundry? Where did you end up going on?
Yeah, you gave us a couple recommendations, and we did. I forget where. It's been a while, but yeah, we did go to your recommendations, and we really enjoyed it. I love Provo. I love Provo. Came down there for basketball a year or two ago. Get there every other year for football, so I'm very disappointed that. I think they should play in basketball every year. I don't know why they don't. And then the football one, that stinks that it's ending. But I'm going to, whether it's a KU basketball game or KU football, now I get to come down to Provo as a fan. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, food on me, man. I'll take you out and show you a good time here in Provo, brother. One last thing for me. Do you think that Boise State is the next team, next prospect for Big 12 expansion? Where do you think they're at on that list of expansion candidates?
I think it's possible, but I mean, I also think, like I said, you have to look at it and see. Like, I'm sure you'd rather take the paycheck and take everything that comes with getting in a Power 5 conference. So I still think if the offer's there, certainly Boise State's taking it. But in terms of getting into the New Year's Six, I mean, I think you have a better path. You can make an argument you have a better path if you're just the top group of five team every year and not battling in the Big 12 with some of those teams. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. I think Boise State feels like they're in a good spot because they can, A, try to get into a Power 5 conference, or B, just dominate that next, you know, level and get in there as much as they can. And so, I think the Big 12 is still very appealing to them. I think the Gonzaga basketball thing is interesting because I feel like Boise State would love to kind of be the travel partner with BYU for a lot of these, like, smaller sports. And if you know, Gonzaga becomes that team all of a sudden, that would probably really hurt Boise State's chances in the future, unless they really did try to go to like a Northwest, Western region or whatever, and maybe they could sneak in there if they really go to 16 teams or whatever. But You know, obviously that's non-football. But, no, I think that they're possible for that. I still think at some point maybe the Pac-12 could be an option for them. I know they don't want to get left out in the cold, you know, the next time you have these, as it could be the final big wave of realignment. But yeah, they're doing $300 million of improvements to their athletic department. They're in the process of building a brand-new scoreboard as we speak. They're making improvements to the basketball arena. I mean, they're getting a lot of new donors. They're behind the scenes doing everything they can to, if, you know, if Lee, like the Big 12 says, we're open to add, they want to position themselves and be ready. But I think it's going to be interesting the next, you know, year to year and a half to see what happens.
Yeah, I love the Boise State brand. I love Boise State football. I'm a big fan of a lot of the players that have come through there. One of my former teammates was the starting center for that Fiesta Bowl team. So Jaden Daly, my dude, my guy. And I'm a big fan of Kellen Moore, too. So I just like the brand. I think they're the modern era of what BYU was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. That's who they became. They became that ESPN sweetheart. And I think BYU's even struggled to get back and kind of like have that Cinderella type of feel, like where, you know, you're scrolling through the games on Saturday or Friday, and you see BYU pop up, you may watch, and you see Boise State pop up, you may watch the Boise State game just as much as you watch the BYU game. I think there's a lot of commonalities between these two programs, and excited to see what their trajectory is. BJ, what's the best way to support you and what you do, brother?
Well, the website's bronconationnews.com, but like you guys said, we do social media. I still don't know what to call them, whether they're webcasts or podcasts with video or social media shows, but we basically go on our YouTube channel, just search Bronco Nation News on YouTube and talk BSU sports and kind of what's going on in the world of college sports for 30 minutes or so, Mondays through Fridays. And I'm looking to expand that too into kind of a more general stuff than just Boise State here in the future. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I would say the YouTube channel, just search Bronco Nation News and subscribe on there. That'd be the easiest way.
All right.
Yeah, fantastic stuff out there. I want to give another plug for that as well. Because BJ, you just, I know the stories, we're taught in journalism school, never make the story about yourself, but I'm going to make the story about you briefly, because you did just barely celebrate your one-year anniversary there.
It's pretty cool.
With, Bronco
we did,
Nation
yeah.
News.
Yeah, I was with the Idaho Press as a beat writer for 9 years, and decided last fall to kind of make my jump to do my own thing, and it's been a lot of fun and having fun with it. And who knows? Maybe we can expand this brand and go to some other schools. Maybe we get someone to start a BYU Nation News or something. Who knows?
I'm for it.
Hey, I like it, man.
Talk. Yeah.
Shout out to you, BJ. You do a great job. Appreciate you joining us today, and great breaking news as well. So if you guys want to,
yeah, I don't know why nobody
article.
Else has announced it or said it yet. I still feel very confident that it's happening. I know he told people he was leaving, so I wouldn't be at all worried or questioning it just because it's been kept quiet to this point.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you, BJ. I think we'll hear something soon. It'll come out soon. I'm certain of it. So
yeah.
We'll see what role it is.
On. Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, we'll see what role it is, obviously. But BJ Raines, ladies and gentlemen, Bronco Nation News. Check out that article on Kelly Papinga. We're going to go to break. We're live from Big O Tires in American Fork. Stop in, say hello. We'd love to see you here and get you some new tires. Buy three tires, get one free. That's buy three tires, get one free here at Big O Tires in American Fork off of State Street, 748 East State Road, American Fork, Utah. If you'd like to call in and reserve your tires, give them your size, 801-692-3757, 801-692-3757. We're going to go to break. Coming up next, Give 'Em Hell Brigham's very own Garrett McClintock will be joining us next. Many people have been pointing towards the defensive side of the ball, that they want changes on the defense side of the ball. Others, I would say, in the last like 2 months I've been hearing this, they've been pointing their finger at Coach Funk. I even had a discussion with an individual earlier today about Coach Funk. I think Garrett McClintock gives some pointed commentary and good objective data as to how we should grade out Coach Funk's 2-year tenure thus far at BYU. Recruiting, development, and also PFF grades. We'll break it down with Garrett McClintock coming up next. This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.